You have to build a movement so strong in this country that if one black man is touched, every black man will rise up and let this country know they're not going to tolerate it.
So it's not fun having all these people in jail, but these are freedom fighters. They're the vanguard.
Solution has come. Okay. Time to pick up the gun.
And if you're not prepared for that, then you don't belong in the Black Panther Party.
49 years ago, as black Americans protested for equal rights and faced an ongoing onslaught of violence from their white neighbors, police, and elected officials, a new movement arose out of that, and it was not based on Martin Luther King's philosophy of nonviolent resistance. Rather, at least in the beginning, it was about arming black citizens to protect themselves and to challenge police brutality. It was 1966, it was October, and the founders of the movement called themselves the Black Panther Party.
Black Panther as our symbol, because the Panther doesn't strike anyone, but when he's assailed upon, that he'll back up first. But if the aggressor continues, then he'll strike out.
That's the voice of Huey Newton, the founder of the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, is the first feature-length documentary to explore the history and the lasting cultural impact of the Black Panther Party. It opens in selected theaters this week. It's directed by award-winning filmmaker Stanley Nelson, who joins me in the studio now. And we're also joined by former Black Panther Michael D. McCarty, who's in Los Angeles. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Ditto. Thank you. Greetings.
Very good to have both of you. Stanley Nelson, the Black Panther Party started not as a national movement. There were national movements going on at the time. This started as a local response in Oakland to Oakland police by Oakland people.
Right. You got it perfectly right. The Panther started in Oakland because of the police brutality there. The police in Oakland were notorious. And Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, maybe four or five others got together and said, you know, we got to do something about it. There was a strange law at that time in California that said you could carry a gun as long as it was in the open, a loaded weapon in the open. And so what they did was followed the police, basically just rode around behind the police. When the police would stop somebody, they would jump out behind the police and try to make sure that no brutality occurred. But they also had loaded weapons.
So they would follow the police around, police encounters. This helped protect black people who were being arrested or searched, certainly, but there was also a show of force. There was also a counter-intimidation factor, I think.
Yeah, as a former policeman that we interview in the film says, it was pretty intimidating to jump out and do a traffic stop, let's say, and right behind you, six or seven armed black men jump out with rifles and kind of stand there observing what you do.
Michael McCarty, what do you remember of the time? Were you in Oakland?
No, I'm from Chicago, but I remember that because that was the thing that got my attention. They did what just about every black person wanted to do in terms of confronting the racism and the brutality and saying, all right, enough of this. We're not going to march. We're not going to pray. If you mess with us, we're going to mess with you back. And that was just a galvanizing concept.
Michael D. McCarty, one of the interesting points in the film is the contrast with the Southern Civil Rights Movement. That was a movement of the South. That was a religious movement. The Panthers weren't. The Panthers were a Northern movement and an urban movement. Does that ring true with you? And can you sort of explain why that was important?
Well, what you had is many of the members of the party, Fred Hampton and myself, were members of the NAACP. Many of us had come out of the civil rights movement, had been involved with the civil rights movement. We had participated in marches and demonstrations or seen our friends and loved ones getting beaten. And basically, there was a growing movement within the NAACP, a youth wing, that wanted to do something else. So when the Black Panther Party came along, there was the opportunity to do that something else, to take it to a different level, to take a different approach, more in line with Malcolm X's idea. Say, I'll be nonviolent with you as long as you're nonviolent with me. But if you grab a gun, I'm going to grab a gun too.
Stanley Nelson, one of the jumping off points of your film is the difficulty the Panthers had when their movement caught on and expanded across the country. And you have Panthers from the early days saying it got so big so fast. We got all comers. We got people from every corner. We didn't know who they were, and they were armed.
Well, in the film, what we're kind of leading to is the fact that the Panthers were riddled with informers. J. Edgar Hoover sent out an edict that said the Black Panthers were the greatest internal threat to the security of America. Basically, he said to his agents, do whatever you can, just make sure whatever you do doesn't come back onto the FBI. So, you know, they would do dirty tricks. They would pit husband against wife, panther against panther, panthers against other groups, anything that they could possibly think of to try to destroy the Panthers.
Stanley Nelson, you're thinking, having made this film during yet another episode of confrontation of police brutality in this country, how much things have changed or haven't, how you're thinking about that context as your film comes out.
I think one of the things that's so startling about the film is when we talk about the Panthers' 10-point program. You know, we want to end police brutality. We want decent employment for Black people. We want decent schools. We want decent housing. You know, all of those things are things that are still with us and that we're still fighting for today.
Now, you've gone through a history of the Black Panthers and what they stood for, but you're also a filmmaker, obviously, someone who understands the importance of the image and of the video image. And the difference today, of course, is the image. iPhone images, body cameras. Back in 1966, such a thing didn't exist. A lot of this was hidden from public view. It's not hidden anymore.
Right. One of the things that I've heard somebody say is that right now in America, we're at a moment where white folks are saying, wait a minute, you know, why didn't you tell us? You know, now we're seeing it. Why didn't you tell us? And Black people are saying, we have been telling you for 100 years that this has been going on. This is not something new. It's not like it went away with the Panthers and came back. Also, as we look today, you know, maybe it's the camera is the new gun. You know, the Panthers carried these guns to try to protect the citizenry from the police. I think that cameras are now, they're not protecting people because it hasn't worked, but it's making people see and making people talk about what's going on in this country in a way that they didn't a year ago. I think we're in a totally different moment now.
The film is Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution. Stanley Nelson is the director. He's also the director of Freedom Riders and The Murder of Emmett Till. Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution opens in selected theaters this week. Stanley Nelson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, Michael D. McCarty, former Black Panther from Chicago, now in Los Angeles. Mr. McCarty, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.